Hey guys, thanks for joining us for episode 72 of Riding Through the Ages, Current Common. I'm Eugene.
And I am Eric.
Today, we're going to be watching episode 18 of Kamen Rider Revice, entitled Buddy's Trajectory, A Miracle of Fire and Ice. It aired January 16th, 2022. It was written by Hanta Kinoshita and directed by Teruaki Sugihara.
It ended on like a cliffhanger, sort of.
Hmm.
I guess anything's a cliffhanger where it doesn't finish a scene. Uh-huh. So it's the middle of scene. He's running after Arteca.
Yes. Yeah. He's pissed off now.
Yeah. Because he just killed that lady. Maybe. Yeah.
So the thing is, it's not like he was tricked into it. He was warned.
Yeah.
If anything, Arteca was being polite by.
Yeah. Well, according to Arteca, lady was dead long before he got there.
Well, yeah. Yeah. He's like, look, there's no saving her. Just stop. Yeah.
You're the one under the false pretense that you could save her.
Right. I was like, it's like, I told you, man. I just told you that. You didn't listen. You snuffed out what life there was left.
Yeah. You're bad.
You destroyed their legacy.
Yeah. This is all your fault. This is all your fault that I had to turn to this.
So messed up.
Because that seems like something Arteca would think of.
It would be.
This is all your fault,
mm-hmm,
that I had to form a cult. I had a cult. You're the one that made me form this different cult.
It's true. It's like, hey, man, you made me up the stakes.
Yeah. You're the one who needs more toy sales, so I have to become a bigger villain.
Other than that, we're still trying to redeem Julio.
Yes.
With his friend who really doesn't deserve a second chance.
Not like you're not bringing any of your own things into that.
No, he's going to the ninth ring of hell, man. I'm just saying. No, I've never actually had somebody like full on rip a card in front of my face before. I've seen people rip their own cards, and that triggered me enough.
Yeah.
Like that itself made me angry. But like if somebody ripped my card, oh.
Did you ever see, like, the third Gamers movie was about CGCs? And the third one was that they're playing CGCs. And so, like, it kept doing the same scenario over and over and over again. And, like, the characters of the game started to realize that they started becoming self-aware of, like, about the game.
Mm-hmm.
But the overarching story of the game is that it was a living art game. And that there's this big tournament, and whoever wins the tournament gets to create a rule.
Okay.
And, like, there was a group of people that if they won, they would create a rule that would make the game not fun for everybody else, but only fun for them.
Mm.
And to win, the guy had to use a card. But the way you play the card is you have to tear the card.
Oh.
For the card to be active. And so nobody ever does it because it's valuable.
Uh-huh.
And so he ends up tearing the card to, like, save the game and stuff like that. Ugh. But, like, that's how you activate the card. You can have the card in your deck.
There are some cards like that. In Magic the Gathering and this, like, the Unhinged or whatever, like, this joke set, there's, like, cards that you, like, rip in quarters and you throw up, and then whatever they land on is destroyed, that kind of thing.
Yeah, things like that.
Where I'm like, are you crazy? Just get some tokens.
Exactly.
Dear God. Madman.
Well, it's like there's so many Magic cards that, like, this guy on YouTube, he created a logic computer with just Magic cards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the rules of Magic cards just... And it's they're all legal cards,
mm-hmm,
but you have to have the proper hand at the start of the game, and you've made it, you make it so that the other players cannot do anything.
Oh, yeah.
Because they can't draw cards, they can't play cards, they can't do anything. And so you have unlimited turns over and over and over again, but you're not actually doing anything, you're just moving.
Yeah, you're just keeping there forever.
Yeah, and you're like moving things along the logic computer, so you're actually like do math with it and stuff like that. But that was just going off on because of the cart. I was like, where did we come from that? But that the cart.
Or you're like wondering how did we get to this place?
Yeah,
from Arteca,
because of the flashback. Yes.
Yeah. Because his friend wants to apologize, and Sakura's trying to facilitate.
Yeah,
and you know, maybe it'll, you know, maybe Julio's heart will grow three sizes. And
yeah, and it's like Julio would be the perfect one for Revi and Vice to finally, like, activate their abilities and save level three.
True. He'd also work for, like, a tragic death, too. Like, if you needed to really, like, make it so that Aguilera is like, no, we gotta save her.
Yeah.
Not that I want that.
No, I'm pretty sure Julio's fine.
I'm sure he's fine. I'm sure. Absolutely sure he's fine.
Yeah.
Especially if you've seen, like any spoilers in the next, like, eight episodes.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm so sure that he's going to be totally fine and make a turnaround. And I don't know what he's going to do after that. I can't be part of the team anymore. That'd be awkward. Yeah, but no, I guess he could be like a side character.
But there's no telling like what happens when they go back.
Right. Like, does he get a? Do they? He'd have to be arrested. I'm sure he won't. Like, Phoenix is probably going to be dissolved by then. But there should be some punishment.
We have everything that's happening with demons. Him being worthless, not worth, useless.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the real bad guy, of course, the head of Phoenix.
Yeah, the gloves.
The gloves.
White suit, black gloves. Bad guy.
Bad guy.
Pure evil. He's got a machine fueled by the blood of puppies and kittens.
Yes. So there's that, and just those things building up, really.
Yeah, I mean, well, his dad's missing. Like, his dad's back at the Phoenix Lab getting experimented on by George, who we don't really quite understand.
He's missing. He's just not in the scenes.
Yeah. Well, we haven't seen him, and we know his heart's gone.
Yeah.
And we know that George knows his heart's gone.
Yeah. So there's that going on. There's still the family.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. They're really... really stretching this one out in a good way. It's not like it's, you know, they keep talking about
it. Yeah, they don't. The thing is they don't appear every episode.
Yeah.
It's us that keep bringing them back up.
Yeah, it's like every three or four episodes we get some, like,
if we never talk about them at the start of every episode, we wouldn't even be thinking about them when they appear. We're like, oh, yeah, them.
Yeah, yeah. and the thing is that they're now Sakura is like, something's weird, but it's not so weird that she's never going to talk to them again.
Yeah.
Just that, you know.
Yeah.
If they're going to do something, they're going to have to do it now because it's not like her guard's all the way down anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a much better way to get her, to lure her into a basement than the way they did it. But
it's be like, hey, could you go grab something in the basement? Like, we're fixing dinner. Can you go?
Yeah. I kind of almost hope that, like, making her uncomfortable is part of the plan. Because it's like... You can't really think that somebody was going to go down that creepy staircase with nobody responding to them. Like, it would have been just as easy being like, yeah, I'm down here.
Yeah.
It's like, what? I do want to know what was the...
what the plan was.
Yeah, what's at the bottom of the stairs, man? Let me know.
What's it? An Attack on Titan, like, what's in the cellar?
Mm-hmm.
It was like... people who watched the anime, it, like, took forever to answer because the show was off the air for, like, 5 years.
Oh.
But it was just, like, it was, like, a normal progression. I guess in the manga, it was, like, a normal progression. And it did, like, take a while to figure it out. But it felt, if you're just watching the anime, they had the first season of the anime.
Right.
And then the second season, I think it was, like, 5 years after the first season.
That's funny.
So everybody's like, what's in the basement?
We want to know.
But just, like, reminded me of Lost, like, what's in the it was the hatch. What's under the hatch?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know?
What was under the hatch?
It was like a special, it was a training, like a special station that was beaming out the numbers that Hurley used to win the lottery that he was told by this old lady in a retirement home who was crazy, who was just saying these numbers over and over again.
It was a simpler time.
And then they were just in purgatory. Sort of.
Kind of.
They were in a place to learn to be better people.
So that way they can die.
Yeah, so they can die properly. So they were dying. They were sort of dead the whole time. So it was purgatory, for lack of a better term. Which was something that, like, people were thinking in the first episode.
Right. Yeah, I was like, is this purgatory?
And my guess is they weren't thinking that, but then they heard that and like, ah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. I think so, too. Like, with how long it was on the air, and it's not like they had it planned out from the beginning. I'm sorry. Premier television just doesn't work like that anymore.
Yeah.
If it's a one-season show, then sure. Because they're, you know... it's like, yeah, we have this 5-season show plan, and this is how it's going to end. It's like, let's cut it down to 1 season. We don't know if it's going to get that far. That's how it always is, man.
That's how Babylon 5 was. I think it was 5 seasons.
Mm.
And he had 5 seasons planned.
Yeah. Well, and existing franchises aside, yeah, like Star Trek is, you know.
And it happened, Babylon 5. So, like, he had 5 seasons planned, and he didn't know if they were going to come back for a 5th season. So the final episode of the 4th season was like a time jump to like 10 years after the 5th season would have ended.
Oh, okay.
So he like left everybody like, how did this happen? So like people were hungry for another season.
So then he got the 5th season.
So he got the 5th season and then worked towards it.
Okay. There we go. That's a little smart.
Yeah. And I think the reverse happened with the end of Angel, because they like canceled Angel after I think season 5 or something like that. Mm. And the end of the show was like a horrific cliffhanger of them all in the like in an alleyway about ready to face an entire army, and then like that's where the show ended. And he's like, screw you guys for making me end this show.
Just punishing everyone. Yeah. That's funny.
But speaking of shows that have endings, Kamen Rider.
Right.
I'm pretty sure they know where this ending.
Oh, yeah.
The generic ending, you know, having to get there and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think they have, like, word for word how things are going to end.
Yeah, the way I'm looking at it now is, like, each one has kind of, like, a loose idea of starting and ending, and, like, these are the like, necessary, absolutely necessary beats, and everything mm-hmm. else can just be whatever.
Yeah, like, if you look at, like, Saber, I think they're like, okay, first part, you know, we're going to go through with, like, this whole Saber, Caliber thing. Caliber's going to go. Then we're going to Solomon's going
to go. Right, because, like, the first one's, like, we need him to get the King of Arthur.
Yeah.
Or, like, you need him to get the MacGuffin, and then the next one is, like, he needs to save Luna, kind of, not really.
The second one was Solomon.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is the bad guy. I'm just saying, like, what was the point of the arc, right?
He had to unite everybody.
Yeah.
And get the galaxy sword, so he had to unite all the swords together.
Right. So there we go. That would be, like, what they're heading towards, and then, yeah.
The final one is, like, then it's the final battle and stuff like that. And so they built all those things. Basically, they're built around, we need to get to these toys.
Yeah.
We need to get to the mid-season and then the final season, and then, like, let's work the story in. And like we always say, it's amazing how they do it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I couldn't think of a story where someone's just like, you need this character, and that character's trash! Yeah. And they're like, no, figure it out.
Yeah, and make it happen.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Like I told you, like, the Gaim one, he was told what the guy was writing it. He was told what the suits were, and they're like, make a story.
So Fruit Samurai, what do I do with this?
Yeah. And he did a whole thing about like a Garden of Eden, original sin type thing going on. And it's like, oh yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, fruit from the tree.
Yeah. And that's why nobody until like the movie's special form has had apple. Even though one commentator pointed out, it's like, apples is like the fire of fruit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, the main character had orange, and so they're just like, okay, this is it, figure it out. And he's just like, okay. And so then he kind of based it like, it was like a Warring States period type thing
mm-hmm.
with dance troops. And so they had all these like different factions and stuff, and then the fruit was like the original sin type thing. Mm. And like, you know, it worked out really well, actually. So it's just like, but it's just like, no, this is what you get. Figure it out. And so I think that is a lot of like, I'm actually surprised by how well they've not made the forms have anything to do with the show.
Yeah. That's true.
You know, and it doesn't feel bad that way.
No. I mean, because it's like they have an actual, like, I guess the suits aren't really necessary for the story. They just need like tools to get, you know, handle the situation.
It doesn't need, like, it doesn't need to be this. It just needs to be a suit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And, yeah. Like, the fire and ice thing, that's a good dynamic because it shows that they're in balance if it works properly.
Right.
You know? And eventually, of course, they'll get a thing where they, like, combine into one.
Uh-huh.
You know? But, like, those ones aren't, like, but it's, like, you need to be animals. It doesn't need to be animals in this.
No.
They could have easily been minerals or plants or, like, you know, signs of the zodiac or, like, any of the other various other,
like, thematic sort
thematic
of.
Ones. Like, in Fosé, they're signs of the zodiac.
Okay.
Which works out great because Fosé is space themed.
Yeah.
So like that works
constellations
out.
Constellations and whatnot.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah. And they chose like weird random ones too that you don't normally see and stuff. Not just the major 12, you know, other like extra ones and stuff like that. But it's like, yeah, that like that theme fits well.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't need that theme in this show. And it's kind of, so it's kind of like the writer's just like, well, you're making me do this, so I make them not matter.
Right.
not that it's bad for that.
No. If anything, it helps avoid situations where you think, like, using Saber as an example, like Dragonic Knight or King of Arthur matters at all.
Yeah.
And it doesn't at all matter. Yeah. I mean, like, it was played up like it was going to be something, and then it was like...
It mattered in the episode.
Yeah.
And that was it. Yeah. It didn't matter in the story. It mattered in the episode.
Exactly. And then, like, in the case of Dragonic Knight, just, oof, like, woefully underutilized. Yes. Like,
yeah. There's some forms like that. You're like, really? Never used again? Used like three times or once?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then it's like, and then other times you're like, forms get overused.
Yeah.
Like in Kiva, the ultimate form gets, once he unlocks the ultimate form, that's just all he uses from then on.
Right, because you said the outfit was too bulky.
Yeah, for the, speaking of which, the guy who was like Mr. Kamen Rider, I forgot his name off the top of my head. I've said it like a dozen times, but he's going to be in this new show where he's a face actor.
Okay.
So this new show is going to start next month or something like that, and he is playing a manager for an idol.
Okay.
And, like, it's going to be, like, because there's going to be action and stuff in it, too, because he did everything in the suit, so he's an action, so he's a stuntman, really.
Right.
But, like, just in the trailer, there's, like, guest cameos for, like, four Kamen Rider actors at least.
So you're like, and I got to watch this.
These are all of the people that he was the suit for.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Like Decade actor, Blades actor, Gaim's actor, like is in the show. And he's just like, he's this like older guy. Cause I think he's in his like late 50s or something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
But he's like the manager for this up and coming idol. And then there's all these like guys trying to get after her and stuff like that.
Oh, right. Okay. That could be funny.
It's like called Good Morning Sleeping Lion or something like that.
Do you know if it's based off of a novel or a manga or if it's just original?
I have no idea. No. I just will watch it because of that guy. So if it comes out to be something else, I'll watch it. I'll maybe read it or something.
Uh-huh.
Well,
no. I don't mind. Like, I feel like I would just watch it anyway just because, you know, got to support the actor.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, let him have this.
Yeah. So I just saw the trailer for it. I'm like, oh, this looks pretty good.
Yeah, that
but
sounds
it's like
fun.
That it's gonna, because it's like these actors who are like pretty big. Some of them are bigger actors, but they're like pretty much they owe a lot of their career to this guy because this guy was the one in the suits.
He actually made him look cool.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah. So, but yeah. So other than that, I think we're just gonna go find out what they actually do when they get like perfect.
Yeah. Like what's not perfect. Yeah. That they need to change is the other thing. I mean, I don't know if that's ever been like all the other times that they've gotten closer. It's just like them having a heart to heart.
Yeah.
And understanding each other better. So maybe that's it.
Yeah. I think it'll be like, because they're still not actually like focused on the same thing. Vice is a lot of like, I just want to be cool.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think it'll be, I think it'll be mostly Vice helping Ikki with the burden of like being the hero.
Uh-huh.
Of like, dude, I'm here with you too. You don't have to do this all yourself.
Yeah, it's both of us, man.
Yeah, it's both of us type thing. Because that's what I feel like is the arc area. Because the initial arc was like Vice becoming the hero.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's Ikki. Now it needs to be Vice saving Ikki instead of the other way around.
Right.
That's where it feels like it needs to go. Especially after that whole thing when he released Vice, showing that he trusted him.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the thing now is like Vice making Ikki a better hero by like, it's like, no, I'm here for you, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially because even if he says, like right now, he's a little worried about having his siblings end up in a situation where they have to kill somebody.
Yeah.
So he's doing it all himself.
Yeah.
That's a lot to have on your shoulders, especially when you just accidentally totally obliterated an old lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
So I think that'll be it. I'm pretty sure it'll be Vice, like, basically saying, dude, we need to do this together type thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
instead of you doing it all yourself. So it's your fault that lady died.
Right. So do you think Ortega's going to ink out when he gets to the end of the bridge?
It could be easily that. There could be a dozen things. I think it might be interesting if Ortega stamps himself. I don't see him doing that unless it's a last resort.
Yeah, he's not going to do it here. Because
I think he knows that that's like...
You're done.
They're done.
Yeah.
And I'm still telling you, we still don't have enough like evil writers.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, that could be the next step is that since he's a phase three, maybe it acts differently when he uses it on himself rather than like just random...
I think he's going to get a belt.
Goon. Oh, you think so?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of some sort.
Why not?
So I think if like the
oh, that's right. Julio can get back on the team if he has a belt.
Exactly.
SOB.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Why not? Because they're way too important to not be Kamen Riders.
Yeah. That's kind of, the logic is flawless, really.
Yeah.
They either have to die or be Riders.
Yeah.
Period.
But I could see Bad Dr. Evil Guy like giving Arteca a belt.
Yeah.
Because if he's all about like powering everybody up through conflict or some junk like that.
Yeah. Or, you know, like one of those, if there's nothing to fight, then the organization's resolved. I lose all my money.
So like the funny thing is now that we have like evil doctor guy, it like makes almost everything that it's so funny because he just had one scene, but we know he's evil doctor guy. Makes everything that like George did. I was like, okay, well, yeah, if he was under this guy, everything he does is great.
Right.
It's like he could be killing puppies, but if he was under this guy obviously is like way worse. So the it was a necessary evil.
It's like he had to kill the puppies or else they would have been tortured and killed. It was a mercy.
It's a necessary evil. It's just instantly everything becomes like more understandable on George's side when you're like, oh yeah, he had a bad guy over him.
Right. He's doing the best he can.
Like if he was in charge, you're like, dude, do better. But if he's like have somebody over him, you're like, he's doing the best. He can. Like,
leave them alone.
It's funny how easily that just turns around.
Uh-huh.
And they do that a lot in Kamen Rider when you're like, I hate this guy. This guy's awesome. I hate this guy. This guy's awesome. I have no idea what this guy's doing. What he's doing is inconceivable. I understand.
Yeah. Oh, I understand now. Is that easy?
Yeah. So, yeah. We're going to go watch that, and we'll be back. Come on! Okay. And we are back. So, it's moving forward.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like an ending to this episode, but also like setting up several things for the next couple of episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. This is actually a really good episode.
Yeah. So it starts.
Yeah. So it starts off. It's
right where the last episode ended.
Yeah. Arteca's making fun of him, calling him pathetic. So he's like, oh, hell no. Starts to run after him. It's maybe halfway before he goes up in flames.
Yes. He burns himself. Yeah. His own power overtakes him.
That's right, because Vice wasn't coming with him.
Yeah.
So they weren't in sync.
Yeah.
And so the thing that happened that George kept warning him about, I had forgotten that.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, you guys already transformed. That's over with.
Yeah.
No. They have to be in sync even while they're transformed.
Yeah.
Duh, obviously, what would...
And so he, like, he unhensions, and he's, like, all burned up.
Oh, yeah.
No, Tech is just like... Suck.
Yeah, sucks to suck. No, he is like, he's crispy. And like George throws out a goddamn.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah.
And I love this because like Vice starts running. He's like, Eki. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, why are you still around? And then he turns. I'm like, okay, yeah.
As the moment he lost consciousness or whatever.
When he unhensioned, I'm like, why are you still corporeal? You know? And it's like, oh no, they thought of that. They just wanted the effect.
Right. Yeah.
And then everybody's just like, hey, gang.
So they rush over and they're like, no. And this is like all three of them.
Yeah.
So Hiromi's now gotten the energy to come over.
Yeah. And they just start yelling at him.
They're screaming in his ear, no, Eki, no.
They saw Eki.
At least Hiromi's on the phone, like calling for help.
Yeah. But they're just screaming at him.
Yeah. He wakes up and it's like, I'm sorry to say that you'll make a full recovery except for your left ear.
You are deaf.
Yeah.
And so it goes, and so there's no opening.
No, there's like a little boom, 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 like with the stamps.
Title card. It just comes at the title card up. And yeah, then it does the little thing for where it would be like the sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
So they do this.
I almost feel like that should have been the ending of the last episode, right?
Of him burning in flames?
I mean, it was so short.
Yeah, but who knows?
I mean, it's all the same. It would have worked out the same. All that would have changed is that we would have had an opening and an ending this episode. Maybe. One or the other.
Well, they don't have endings in the shows.
I'm just saying, either way.
Oh, yeah.
We would have had room for something.
Yeah, so they don't have the opening. They just have the thing. But, as I told you, they still have the song in it. Because they have to have the song.
They have to.
And when we get to X8, it'll be the one where it's just like, they just throw it in whenever.
Just to have it?
Yeah, well, they have to have it, I think.
Dang it, our hands are tied.
They like have to have the song in every episode.
Mm.
Like, I guess contractual reasons or not. But so sometimes in X8, they'd be like, this is them losing. It's not like... Because it's like, Excite. The song is called Excite.
Yeah. So he's bleeding out like, oh, God.
He's getting worked by the bad guy. I'm like, wait a minute. You know how like, it reminded me, the first one I saw it was Digimon. Like whenever the Digimon song came up, you're like, they're winning.
Right. That's the whole point. It's like they just transformed to their new form or
Digimon.
They just became better buddies or something. Yeah.
So then it comes back. And it's a flashback scene of, like, all of the, not all of them, the past three Phase 3 is being killed.
Yeah, he's having like some nightmares.
Yeah, and then he wakes up. You know, it's the flashback because it's the offset like blue 3D
red
effect
thingy. Yeah,
I think it's purple and blue like Revice colors. And then he wakes up in the hospital and they're all over his face. They're like, ee-ee-ee-ee.
Yeah, it's just the family. So Hiromi's not there.
Yeah.
The mom and the two kids.
And Vice.
Yeah. And the dad's somewhere else.
Yeah, he doesn't appear in this episode. He's in the hospital getting a new heart. Ikki is all bandaged up.
Yeah.
He doesn't have just the little nose on his thing.
Yeah, it's important to point out that, like, when I say he was burnt, I mean, head to toe, he looked like he just got
burned. Yeah.
Burnt. Or, yeah. Like, he had just stepped out of a place that was on fire. Yeah.
He's got bandages all over his hands. All his arms, all the way down to his fingertips, completely wrapped up.
Yeah. And he still has some open, like, cuts and scrapes that they didn't bother bandaging because at a certain point, he's not a mummy.
Yeah. He'll probably be fine next episode.
Yeah, totally healed.
Well, he's a Kamen Rider, so...
Back on his perfect skincare regimen.
Healing is just like, the baths.
Oh, that's what it is.
It's the baths.
The baths.
So, what I most likely is also is that next episode, the opening will feature Volcano.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, that's probably one of the reasons why they, like, don't have it in this episode, because, like, this is the episode where they... It's still kind of up in the air if that is their final form.
Right.
It could have been something different. It won't be because they made those suits. But, so, the next episode will be more of Triumphant to, like, show that, because he mastered it in this episode. If, like, the opening is him being burned and almost dying from it, and they show him using it in the opening, you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit awkward.
It takes away a little bit of the sting.
So he apologizes, I think. He's apologizing for not just going through with murder. Like, you know.
He's apologizing for that not being able to, like, alter the flow of human history or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, he might as well be apologizing for global warming or something.
Right. And he's super beat up over the fact that he just, you know, destroyed the husk of an old lady.
Yeah.
And, you know, how he's from this point forward going
to... Well, to be fair, he only knows what Orteca says. It's not till like, later when Jor says it. Like, yeah, that's different.
Yeah.
The Giftarians are different than Phase 3.
Yeah.
But
the important thing is that while he's saying this, Sakura is going back to the point where they're all around the table, and she said basically the same thing, and Ikki was just sitting there, like, very resolute to deal with the problem. So she's saying that, oh, even then he was...
Yeah, thinking about it, and also, like, I think a little bit of it was like, am I putting too much on him?
Mm.
Like, at this point, because, like, I was also part of the, like, we gotta save them!
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he's still taking it all on him, you know? And so she leaves to walk around.
Yeah, walk around and think. And while she's doing her thinking, she bumps into Julio. Well, she doesn't bump into him. He bumps, you know, he finds her.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, let's go talk. And she's like, you know, in a ready stance. Well,
the other thing is, like, I can understand. I mean, like, there's the whole Julio thing of, like, that. But I can also understand why she doesn't go straight on the attack.
Uh-huh.
They are in a hospital.
Yeah.
If he says he wants to talk, go with that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons. Like, she... You know, she is in deep thought. She's in a hospital. She sees him and he's not, like, aggressive.
Yeah, yeah. He's not being all monstrous and he wants to talk. And she was trying to get him to talk.
Yeah.
So this works out.
Yeah.
And then it goes to them on the roof.
Mm-hmm. And he's just not saying anything. She's like, okay, so what? And then he's not saying anything. He's like, all right, well, if you're not going to say anything, I'm leaving. And he's like, wait, I need you to help Aguilera. He's just like, what? He's like, if I die, no, I need you to help Aguilera.
I am going to take down Orteca, even if it kills me.
That's right.
And Aguilera's going to need somebody.
And she's like, fine, but you got to do something for me first. You got to meet, what's his face? I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I don't remember his name. The buddy.
Right.
The classmate guy. And so she's like, well, finally, I have something to get him to do what I want him to do. You know, this is actually a pretty good plan.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's like, also, she's like, probably in her mind, it's like, if he talks to his friend, he won't want to go fight to the death.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I'll convince him not to go kill himself.
Right.
By having him reconcile with the reason why he's so, like, angry.
So it goes back to the hospital room, right?
Yes, and it is George apologizing.
Yeah, he's apologizing for he shouldn't have let him use the stamp. He knew the dangers. You're not ready. That kind of thing.
And Ikki's just like, no, I was going to do it, man.
Yeah, it's not your fault. It's my fault. I got a little hot-headed. And then I think this is where we find out that George, I don't know. Like, this isn't a suck. It's just kind of weird that The way I'm rationalizing it is he interpreted the information that he saw while they were fighting, came up with some smart assumptions, and that's just the working knowledge he's going with, because he's like talking about the Giftarians as if this was a thing all along. So just the way that it's said, it's like, how the hell do you know about the Giftarians?
Well, I do think they knew, because remember, they had the gift stamp.
Oh, so you think maybe they stamped somebody and that
or it like at some time, like they had the gift stamp. He also has like a flashback, which isn't a flashback, obviously, because he wasn't alive. But it was like a flash to the original archaeological dig. And so like most likely that was the original stamp.
Okay, yeah, I get that. That's fair, because he even says that as far as like the Giftex, phase threes are new territory. As in, he doesn't have all the answers on that.
So, like, all the stamps they have were based off of the gift stamp.
Okay, because the thing is, I just want to avoid. I really hope that they're avoiding the. I have no way of saying it other than like the King Kai thing, where it's just like there's always like the next interstellar threat that Goku has to face. And he knew about it all along. He just kept calling the one before that the actual interstellar threat.
Yeah.
And then Brawly. And you know, my point is he just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And somehow King Kai always knew, but he's not telling you.
I'm okay with them not saying anything about the Giftarians, because up until like two episodes ago, they weren't an issue.
Well, sure, but I'm saying two episodes ago, it's pertinent information. Obviously, as from a storytelling standpoint, you can't just have the next big bad talked about unless it's like going to be the big bad, right? But it's like if you knew that he could make Giftarians, you'd think you'd freaking tell. Like, just let them know so their pants aren't down when they get, you know, they're going to get jumped at from the bushes by old lady husk.
So I do think they knew about the Giftarians from the start, but they just didn't talk about them because they, like, never showed up. And probably, like, I don't think he expected them to ever use it because that was never, like, up until, like, Arteca took over, the
terrorist organization was pretty subtle.
Well, they never sacrificed their people.
Right.
They were like recruiting and stuff. So that wasn't the goal. Didn't seem like the goal. And so now he's seen it. He's like, now I know what these are.
Okay.
You know, because that like.
Yeah, that could be. It could be that it's textbook knowledge that he was working off of and not necessarily like firsthand he's seen Giftarians.
Yeah, most likely the stamp's been like in Phoenix for like ever. Or
right.
Whatever.
And it's like, we've already tested it. Don't bother. That kind of thing. I'll go with that because that makes it a lot easier to digest.
Yeah. So that's my thing is like, he knew about them, but he didn't think that they were going to be brought out.
Right. Well, that's why I was saying retroactively, I was like, okay, it must be he's working on new knowledge because he's seeing, you know, the video cam footage.
Yeah.
Like all the time he's watching these fights happening. So it's not like, he's in the dark of everything.
Yeah. But I also just don't think he's also, for all we know, they are like all of Phoenix knows about them.
Uh-huh.
Ikki just doesn't.
Right. He just wasn't there.
Yeah. He just didn't take the orientation.
So I think so they're having the talk about it, and he says something to him. Like, you need to, it's like.
He says that if you weren't so focused on separating them, you would be a whole lot stronger.
Yeah, and that if you keep doing this, you could die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he also is just like, but you're not going to stop. And he's just like, I might be able to make this work, but it could also just kill you.
Mm-hmm. As in, he's going to go do some like, work on it.
Yeah, he's
going
to tinker with it. But yeah, he's just like, but it might just kill you.
Right.
And he's just like, okay, let's do that.
So this is where he goes to Julio meeting the buddy. His buddy's like, hey, how you been? Like, yeah. I don't know, ass. How do you think I've been?
So he's just like, hey, I wanted to say I'm sorry. I betrayed you.
Yeah.
And then we get more flashback.
Yeah, so like it shows at the end, like this is him leaving the school, and the guy's like, you know, hey, even if you're leaving, I'll be there when you go.
He's like, right? I was forced to do this. He's like, I thought you were my friend, but I was wrong. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, hey, I'll still be there when you're going to go.
Right, because he hands him the ripped up card.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, he doesn't want to hear it, and he leaves. And we find out this guy fooled him twice from Julio's point of view, because he's sitting there, he's at this, like, well, let's just call it a cafe or maybe a hotel or airport X or something like that. And he's got the card in his hand and his buddy's not there. So he just lays the ripped card on the table and
leaves. And
so the guy is, he hands him the taped up card.
Yeah,
he's now taped it, and he's like, here, look, I'm sorry.
He's like, I betrayed you, I'm sorry, and stuff.
I feel like he could have also gotten him a brand new one. Give him both.
Yeah, I got it. You know, here we go.
Here's the ripped up one. Is this still good? Is this still mint? Yeah. I've taken care of it very well since then.
Still regulation? But then this is when Julio's just like...
I'm sauce, bro. And he's like, nah.
I betrayed you.
Yeah. So we see that he...
When he was like leaving the cafe or whatever, they're going off to move.
Yeah, like he's in the moving van or whatever, and they're driving down the street, and he looks out the window into like a park area, and he's watching his friend, well, the person he's angry with at the time. I don't know if you can call him friends. I guess it's friends.
They're still friends. They're in a row right now.
Yeah. He's just watching him getting his ass beat.
Yeah, he's getting seriously worked. One guy's holding him, another guy's punching him and kicking him in the face.
Another guy's enjoying it.
Yeah.
And he's just like, no, I got somewhere I need to be. Getting punched real hard in the gut.
Which shows that, like, after he got beat up and the guys left him, he went to the cafe and got the card.
Yeah. That's how he even has it. Yeah. So he did eventually get there.
Yeah.
But he was held back because he was getting his ass beat.
Yes.
And so Julio's calling himself a traitor for not.
Because he did nothing. He was angry at him at the time. But now you're looking, you're like, dude, you just let that kid maybe get killed.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
For over a card.
You ripped the card, man. You ripped the card. So, you know, he's trying to bridge the gap. Like, they built the bridge. He's going to try, like, rebuild the bridge, and now he's going to walk over it. And he looks up.
He's like, we both made mistakes in anger or being poor, you know.
Yeah. Like, this is going to be the big reconciliation. Like, they're finally going to come back together. He looks up, and Ortek has got the dude by the neck.
Oh, we forgot to mention that, like, Sakura, like, saw that they met, and is just like, okay, we'll give them some time to buy walks away.
She sees it. She sees him talking. She kind of smiles and walks. It's my, like, work's here is done.
And then walks away.
Didn't you just try to keep him from, like, killing somebody? He's still on edge. You'd think the smart thing to do would be to kind of sit and watch and see what's going on.
I don't want to, like, spy on these guys when they reconcile.
No, I get both sides.
Yeah.
It's just that, come on. One's a murderous killing machine, another's a douchebag that ripped up a car. You got to protect him. He's hired you to protect him. No, it's not it.
The thing is, you're thinking that... in your opinion, you're like, you got to protect Julio from this card ripper monster.
Right, that's exactly right. You didn't bring any more cards with you, did you, Julio? You never know.
It's Ortega there.
Yeah, he's got him around the neck, and he's like, you know, smiling at Julio.
Now, at first, I'd be like, dude, how did Ortega get there? But like, Ortega, he's the eel. He can disappear everywhere.
Yeah, he's the ninja.
The
ninja
squid
ink thingy.
Yeah, so he can disappear everywhere. I mean, this happens in normal Kamen Rider, just they're there.
Right. This is like the one time that he's got an excuse.
Yeah. He pretty much teleports, so I'm okay with it. And so he's got him, and he's just like, hey. He's just like, and then he just stamps him.
Yeah, he's like holding up the gift stamp by, like, you know, the fingertips and like kind of waving it back and forth, and then just boom, right there. And the guy's like, smile. Transforms into a giftarian.
Tamaki.
Sweet.
Tamaki is the guy.
Tamaki.
It is Julio's name. He'll probably be known as Tamaki.
From now on.
Yeah.
Don't call me Julio. Yeah. Oh, that's not yet. Sorry.
Yeah, and he's just like, oh, look at that. And he's just like, oh, you know what we should do? Our next target should be Aguilera.
And he's like got his back turned to Julio, and he's laughing.
Like, he's just like, go get him. He's like, sorry, Julio.
And then you see something fly by his face.
Yeah. Ortega just like tries to make a cool turnaround.
Like, what'd you say?
Because he's like, don't call me Julio. And he's just like, what did you say? And then, yeah, the giftarian just slams into a wall.
Mashed potatoes on the wall.
Yeah.
Okay, so on one hand, I'm kind of sad that the new thing is already trivial. But then I don't know how long they could keep that going, you know?
Oh, the giftarian?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like a thing. It's
especially when they look the exact same.
Yeah.
Like, it looks the exact same as the other one.
So I figured they will be, like...
The new...
They'll be, like, extra strong minions.
Yeah,
there'll
like
be like
be one or two of them.
Like, it's super strong gift juniors to make it so that you're like, we don't have to just have 1,000 gift juniors distract any rider.
Right.
You can have a giftarian distract that rider.
He kind of fills the role of like, there's been a few monsters that they've had in this series that split up into multiples just for the sake of.
Yeah. It's like, trying to think of like, yeah.
Because, I mean, because we had the lion do it, we had the mammoth do it, we had the. I guess you can't really count Planaria. That was the whole point, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you get what I'm saying. Yeah. So I
it's
imagine
basically
like you said,
a lieutenant.
Yeah.
You know, because you want to still show the progression and the strength of the writers.
Mm-hmm.
But you also, I mean, you have so many writers and they have to be on the fight. So you have to like do something to keep them busy.
Right.
And so, and it'll be cool to see like live take out a Giftarian and stuff like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We still don't know. They're dancing around it, which probably means it's possible, but they've all but said it's like they're dead when they become a Giftarian.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, they've stopped short of saying that, but they might as well be.
Yeah.
My only hope is that he's... Well, no, anyway.
I mean, there's always... I mean, there's a chance that Live can bring people back to life.
Oh, that... Yeah, why not?
You know, his kicks, he gets a super form, his kicks bring people back to life.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the name Live.
Yeah, kick you to life.
Yes.
But, so
Wouldn't
we
be the weirdest thing we've seen.
Orteca is, like, pissed. Because when he punches, you just see this, like, weird-looking hand on him. Like, a little, it's a little different than the hand he usually has, and there's, like, a red glow. And he, you know, he starts growing these spikes, like, all over his body, and he, like, does this whole, you know, Super Saiyan Rage thing, and then, boom, he's got this new upgraded or downgraded form, depending on how you look at it. He's got his Berserker form.
Yes.
And it's just, like, a hulkier, redder version, like, without the hat and all the...
Yeah, it's a more monstrous, less... cowboy-y.
Right.
You know.
And so, like, he screams, and there's a big A-bomb going off.
Yeah.
Destroys who knows how much of the city.
To be fair, also the other thing is, like, Sakura heard the scream of when she ran back and she saw the friend die.
Yeah.
So she's seen up to this point. But yeah, the big A-bomb. And then it cuts to, like,
Iki.
30 seconds earlier.
Right, just 30. Yeah, because it goes to, they're at the hospital, and
Iki's got his belt in his hand.
He's like, you can scold me if you want. And Vice is like,
what would
what?
I scold
what are
you?
Talking
you?
About?
It's like, I'm risking your life with my desire to save these people.
Yes.
As like, what? And this is like, this is an interesting thing about Iki. It's like Iki realizing who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's talking about, like, at some point, and it's not like at the start of the show. It's like earlier than the show.
Yeah, this is like, it's, he's realizing his personality flaw.
Yes, that he puts people above himself so much that he's willing to die for them.
Yeah, basically, at some point, he stopped caring about himself completely. Yeah. And he just got absorbed with helping other people. And he was hoping to kind of, like, find himself by helping, like, other people. He would be able to find himself again.
Yeah. But he
doesn't like himself at all. He doesn't care about himself.
And because of this, he's putting Vice at risk.
Mm-hmm. And Vice is just like,
are you stupid?
Yeah, are you stupid? He's like, what do you? It's like, you care about me, right? That means you care about yourself. Like, it's like you're lying to yourself if you think, because, you know, we're both.
And like, I love it that Nikki's just like, what?
I'm part of you, bro.
And that's when Vice goes in him and he's just like, hey, man.
He's yeah, he gives like, him a, like, he goes inside him to give him a bump, like a heart bump.
Yeah, he's just like, dude, we're the same person. Or like, we used to be the same person.
Yeah, he's like, oh, that's right, you're my inner demon.
Yeah, so it's just like, you wanting to protect me is wanting to protect you.
Yeah, self-love, man.
Yeah, it's like...
just a physical representation.
It's just like, hey, you know, it's all about self-care.
And then he's like...
let's go to like a spa and like... and watch the view.
Right. You get the cucumber...
You get the cucumber eye things and just like drink a little lemon water.
So he tells, you know, he's like kind of choked up and he tells Vice that he's sorry. And Vice is like...
Apologizing to yourself, you weirdo.
And then the big boom.
The big boom happens. And they'll be like, he's like, Vice, this could kill me going there. And he's just like, but you're going to do it anyway?
Right. And then he kind of falls off the bed.
And then he's just like, hey, I'm going to need you to help me. And because he's got the stamp. And he's just like, I might eat you up. And then he gives him a little chest bump. He's
he
like,
gives him his own little heart bump.
And he's like, you never do that.
And then makes a physical version of him.
Yeah, brings him out physically, and then they go.
And the screaming. Somebody, this is, I'm glad that they showed everyone in the hospital. They're like,
freaking out when Vice is taking him out.
Yeah, there's a big explosion, and suddenly there's a demon walking down the halls, right?
Yeah, you hear also the news report of, like, there's a big explosion. Phoenix is focusing on an evacuation, which is why there's no Phoenix goons at Ground Zero.
Right.
I'm guessing that during this episode was when they were kind of more locking down. When they were filming this episode in Japan. So that's why there's like not a bunch of Phoenix goons and like less people in the scene and stuff like that. And it works out better for the scene. So not having a bunch of Gift Juniors and Phoenix goons running around, I think it makes the next fights like more impactful that it was less people involved in it.
Yeah.
So it might have been for that, but it also felt like there was like kind of less people in like the fight scenes in this episode than they have been in the past couple of episodes. So they go to George.
Yeah, and they give a deep bow, and they're like, "Look, I need the
volcano.
Stamp back.
Yeah.
And he's like standing in front of some equipment, I think, and like he's probably about to get started with altering it or tampering with it, but he hasn't yet. That's the way I took.
Or he's in the middle of it or something. You know,
right. I want to think that they end up mastering the power, not because George tampered, but because they've connected.
And so he's just like, hey, so this might be the last time I talk to you.
Yeah, he might die.
Yeah. But he's like, go do it.
Get it done. So we go to the fight now. And Sakura's getting kind of rocked. Like, she's got her pinned to the ground, and she's like trying. She's talking, like, you can see a mental debate almost of her whether or not she should activate the belt and go all out.
Yeah, because, like, if she goes all out, Julio dies.
Right.
And, like, she just saw that this isn't Julio's fault. Like, other things have been Julio's fault.
Right. But this one is, yeah.
And he was going down a good path, and then Ortega comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And so she basically says no. That I'm not going to, like, go all out. I'm just going to try to hold off.
And she's, like, you know, trying to get his attention, but, like, not its attention, his attention, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, trying to get Julio to snap out of it.
So he's in rage mode, but he's not completely gone.
Right.
He's still talking.
Yeah.
But he's all about, like, just...
Ortega!
Ortega punches her through a pillar.
Yeah. And then Liev comes out of nowhere. He tries to subdue him. Doesn't really work out. And so he just trashes both of them.
Yeah.
It's like non-contest.
He knocks them both down. And then he's like, Ortega.
And that's when Iki shows up.
Yeah, he's like, Julio. Being carried by Vice. Not a very triumphant entrance. I'm coming to get you.
Yeah. Yeah, he's messed up, man. And he calls. So they, calls him his partner and they do a full henshin.
Yeah, he says, like, let's do this, partner. Now... So this isn't my suck, so I'm bringing it up now. And I know why. The reason why it's not my suck is because I know why they're saving it for later.
Hmm.
Why doesn't Vice say henshin?
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's physical. Like, if he should do a
pose. Yeah, any other time, sure. But this time, he is actually in a physical state.
Yeah. And I know they're saving it, so it's going to be special when he does it.
Right, it'll be a big thing.
Like, at one point, he'll probably be the main body or something like that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, he will come to him, and they're saving it. But, like, this felt like a good time to do it, especially with, like, we're one person. So if they would have said it at the same time, it would have been good.
Especially if they're partners.
Yeah. So I the reason why it's not my suck, because I know they're saving it for later.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, I'm like, this would have been a perfect time for it.
This would have been a good time.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that when it happens, that it's even better than this time.
Right, right. Because this one was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Because they go through the full henshin, and they spared no expense on the visuals for this next bit.
Yes. They saved all the money that maybe they have to pay for the intro every time. So mm-hmm. this time they saved that money. Because they have the whole, like, multiple camera angles showing off the forms, doing the whole thing.
And there's,
like,
a lot of really cool moves and stuff. Because they get into him, they start working him, he's getting overwhelmed, and they've got him knocked back a little bit, and Vice is like, he does Iki's catchphrase for him, which is, you know, basically like, I'm fired up, Iki, no, Iki's going, or something like that. It's kind of hard to translate in English.
But he's like, no, we're going.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Yeah. Just like in Double, when they're like, no. We're Kamen Rider type thing.
Right. So the opening music starts playing. That's what you were talking about.
Yeah.
And boy, does Julio get rocked. And there's all kinds of stuff going on here. Like, at one point, Iki's got a fire sword, and he throws the fire sword to Vice, and Vice hits him a few times with the fire sword,
sword of fire.
Yeah, a sword of fire. That's important to mention. Yeah. Yeah, because then he also has his own sword of ice, and they're, like, doing all kinds. They go full Musou mode on him. Yeah,
and they, like... there's several scenes where they cut away to, like, them punching an actual fire engulfing the suit and stuff like that. The actual arm being on fire and, like, snow.
This ass whooping was so bad that this is the only time I've ever, like, I was looking at this like, oh man, this is kind of messed up 2-on-1.
Yeah.
Like, you guys could have just done this either or, but like, I'm watching a gang beating right now.
It's really good combo work, very in sync, and it's a lot of, like, even when we're talking about all the special effects and stuff, there's a lot of actual martial arts in this fight, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike, we always go back to it as, like, the first time Elemental Dragon showed up, which just, like, so many effects.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, I can't look at the screen, I'm having a seizure.
It was a spasm, because it was, like, every hit was, like, 4 or 5 elements popping off, and it wasn't that perfect.
It got much better later on, but, so this is, like, a nice, like, full update of, like, this is the, like, even though it appeared last episode, this is the premiere of the in sync volcano form.
Yeah, because the one time I couldn't really make out what was going on, like I said, that was full Musou mode. You understood what they were doing was furiously slashing with their swords, like, a million different ways.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be one of those
And so they knock him enough that he falls out of the parking structure they're in. They come down, and then the CGI kicks in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is like the one. It's not even necessarily a downside, but they're...
They do the thing you hate. It's like, why are they flying?
That's just it, yeah. Because they go to do a kick, and then he starts shooting like spikes off of his body. And so then they start like literally flying
to avoid them. I'm like, I can go with Iki flying because of the whole fire
but ice,
jet
yeah.
and stuff. But ice, yeah. he's not even like riding.
You're
on
not doing a Frozone. You're just...
yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but I'm not letting it stink it up because the fight up to that point was really sweet. And, so they stall midair and they go to do a rider kick. And Julio, I don't know what he's doing here, but like he's done with the spikes and he like kind of pounds his arms together twice.
So he's pounding, like he has a thing on his chest and that's how he's doing his things. He's like pounding his, like there's like a jewel on his chest or something. Mm. And he's like hitting it. It took like cause.
Okay, so he was hitting it with both hands. Okay, because he hits it twice and then. Like chest beam.
Yeah, Yuna beams it out and then they get stopped. And of course, this is how you do it. This is how physics work. You kick harder in midair.
Yeah, because their kick is stopped, but then they're like, and then they kick through it because Julio also has like a flashback to his buddy.
Yeah.
And so I think his powers kind of wane here and they get the upper hand to come in and just, you know,
and they
do the thing.
They take him out and then like Julio gets.
Because it's like because of the smile bit. Like he remembers his friend saying smile.
Yeah. And a bunch of like black paper coming out of him and then a big tablet that is his, which is the tablet you saw when the other three got to level 3.
Right.
And this like it shatters and explodes and Julio's there and then
right.
3-2-1.
Because we see like it was a volcano festival or something with the 3-2-1 boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so we see George stand up and he's super hyped. He's like, marvelous. So we have Julio over here. He's on his knees in his regular form.
Yeah.
And Iki falls over. He dehensions. He's
out.
He's wiped out, man.
Luckily, Vice is still physical, so he catches him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the card falls down, and Julio picks up the card, and he's just like, because he's like dealing with it now.
Mm-hmm.
Like the rage is passing, and now he has to deal with like the fact that his friend just died.
Mm-hmm.
And then Orteca comes in for the kill.
Yeah, he comes in for a sneak attack. Very, very shifty, very perfectly timed. This is
very Orteca.
This is Seth Rollins cashing in Money in the Bank. This is dirty.
Yeah. So he goes and he's just about ready to hit him. And you see a glint in like Julio's eye, like he's accepted it. Like, this is what I deserve or something like that. And then...
it does look like that, doesn't it? Yeah. Like, it's almost like, thank you.
This is it. I'll see my friend soon. Can you, like, keep the card intact and bury it with me? And then...
Basically, something shoots down from the sky. Yeah, like it's like a superhero landing. Not really. But there's, like, a weird, like, shell-like bubble thing going on.
Yeah.
And I was like, who the hell is this? It's Aguilera.
Yeah, Aguilera. And it's like it's a honeycomb shield.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like once I saw who it was, I was able to then be like, oh, that's right. She had the queen bee form.
Yes. And Orteca's just like, okay, I'm out.
He's done. Yeah.
We forgot to mention like when Julio first goes berserk, he takes a huge chunk of Orteca.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, because he like does a thing and it takes him like a shoulder all the way down to the hip.
Yeah, and so it means that like Orteca is like T-1000 over there. You know, it's like you have to do some serious damage to take Orteca out. But
yeah, I forgot to mention that part.
Yeah,
yeah, he ends up as soon as that happens, he reforms and immediately inks out of the situation. And that's why Julio started going on the rampage, is he didn't have anybody to direct the anger.
Yeah, so Julio's there on the ground and like
do you mind if I take this one, because it starts off with like a very good crying scene. Like he's looking up at Aguilera and it's like I could feel it. This actor put some really like a lot of thought into this character for this scene, and I'm like, damn, this guy knows how to cry for a screen. He's gonna do well. And he's like, you look like Aguilera, and she's like,
she's like, are you really going to leave me?
Yeah.
And then she's like, then she
does a smile and rubs his head, and then he full on baby wails, and that's when it falls apart. So like he's a good crier up till the point where they're like, I need you to like really just wail as if your entire life has changed in this moment. And that's when it starts to fall short. But it was like, so I was going to write it down as a, like I was like in the middle of writing it down for a segue about how good the crying scene was. And then that last half, I'm like, okay, I'm going to erase it.
A long time listeners know that Eugene is very critical of crying.
I am. I am very critical of crying scenes. It's like, here's your chance, man. You're going to make it big. And then.
And like the other thing we always is like the fact that like almost every actor in Kamen Rider is a young actor.
Yeah, I mean this is probably the first time that he's cried on screen.
Yeah. So. And not to say like people be like, oh, that's That's how some people really cry. And like, yeah, but.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's just it, too, is that there are a lot of people that cry way different than you'd expect. Some people are pretty criers. Some people are ugly criers.
Yeah.
Some people like.
Some people cry and you're like, are you really crying? Yeah, are you faking it? And
yeah.
Like, oh, no, you're really crying.
Yeah. Like, it's like, are you just taking sharp breaths? Like, what's going on here? So, you know, how do you judge it?
Yeah.
But there's like, okay, so Aguilera and Sakura have this long stare with each other.
Yeah.
Before she transforms into Queen Bee, picks up Julio.
Zout.
She's gone.
And then it's weird to, there's a couple of ways this point could be in. And because, like, Vice is like, should we just let her go?
Yeah, it's like, boy, was it good to let them go? And Iki's like, yeah, he won't betray her.
And I'm just like, what? Like, in my mind, does it mean it's like, yeah, he wouldn't have come with us?
I don't know. I will say that.
Like, shouldn't we be worried about her betraying him?
Like, if anything, if we're worried about the relationship at all.
I mean, they're both good. They're like, loyal to each other. Like, as somebody who's seen them, like, in the spots that Iki and them haven't seen them in their, uh-huh. in their, like, private or, like, their standalone scenes, neither one's going to hurt the other one.
Right.
But, like, why would you be worried about Julio betraying her?
Well, this is, okay, this is my suck. So I don't know if it's your suck, too, but I'll explain why. It's not quite like how it's been, but there was... This is like a meta plot twist for myself. I'll explain it. Once you hear it, you're probably going to think it's kind of funny. But I don't know. The scene definitely had me going, huh? Like,
and so, but then after that, it goes to the bad guy.
Yeah, the bad guy. So the gift statue's laid down. They've got some equipment attached to it. And it's like the dim lit room because all the best science is done in a very dim lit room. And the guy's like, oh, what does he say? Fortune.
Well, so because, like, energy is funneling into the gift statue.
Yes.
So, most likely, this is the energy that came from Julio being beaten.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, even though he didn't die, the...
Contract broke.
The contract broke, so the gift portion of him died.
Yeah.
So, it's, like, fueled into him.
Yeah, and he says something weird. I can't remember what it was. It's, like, it's fortunate to have friends, or...
Fortune favors the brain. Something like that.
Yeah, something. Because he's like, ah...
yeah.
He's like this close to a full on cackle.
He's evil scientisting it.
Yeah.
It would be so funny if he's the hero. But
right.
Oh. I like half wanted to be like, yeah, this is the guy's the hero the whole time. This is all about like saving the world. Not even like the hero of like, oh, I'm doing all these horrible things to like save the world. But no, like every good thing is him.
Yeah, 100% good things. And we're just assuming because he's got black gloves and a white suit. Right.
Then it goes to Hiromi in like a dimly lit room because all science is done in a dimly lit room.
Right. There's a lady at a computer and he's sitting at a table and he's like, can I leave?
He's like, is it okay if I leave now? And she's like, are you serious now?
Like, no.
He's like, what? He's like, every test we've done, your blood work, your
organs,
everything, you're 80 years old.
Yeah. They come back as if you were 80 years old. And that's bad.
And then it shows that he has like cases of just energy drinks he's been drinking just to keep going. And then she goes over and she's like slaps down on the table. She's like, you cannot turn into a Kamen Rider anymore.
Like, period.
Period.
You're done.
Yeah. So it's like, it's been killing. I mean, it's obvious it's been killing him, but now it's like, now we have it. Mm-hmm. It's not like a cold. It's like aging him prematurely. It's breaking him down.
Yeah. As far as his bodily condition, he might as well be near death.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yes. So then it goes to them walking on the street. Vice is there. He's got Iki on his back piggybacking, and Iki's just like, I can walk.
Yeah.
And he's just like, don't worry about it, Ivo. Partner. Don't worry about it, partner. And like,
they're like,
partner. Saga and Daiki are like, partner, and they kind of giggle and stuff. Like, so how did you use fire? How'd you finally use volcano? It's just like, I kind of felt it.
Yeah. Like, so you almost died because you had a feeling? And he's like,
meh. Yeah. And they're like, that's our brother.
And then all of a sudden you see Vice and he's like, oh, and you hear like a pop and he like drops Iki on the ground and he's like, oh, my back hurts. Maybe it's like, my turn.
Now it's my turn for you to carry me.
Partner.
Partner. And he's just like, what? And he's just like,
you rascal.
And they started fighting and Buddy keeps calling him partner over and over and over again. And I'm like, just turn into corporeal again and make him walk.
Right?
And that's where it ends.
Right. And the next episode looks like we're getting some Hiromi.
Yes.
Finally.
I'm going to die.
And yeah. Isn't it feeling like it?
I don't know if he's going to die, but I definitely feel he's not going to be demons.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We were talking about how we don't have enough evil Kamen Rider.
You thinking he's going to go bad? Or?
I'm thinking this is going to be a heel turn. I think this is going to be one of those situations where it's like, I'll use their power against them thing. Like, he intends good, you know, goes down the wrong path. I wonder if maybe they could work it in. I don't know if it's going to be a thing, just that there's an opportunity here for him to extend his life by signing a deal with the devil, right?
Yeah.
And then just not going the way, you know, monkey paw, of course.
Yeah.
You got what you wanted, but not in the way you thought. Not that I would like to see him turn evil, just that it's better than him dying, having done nothing for the show.
Yeah.
Except be a cool dude.
Yeah. So what is your suck?
Okay. All right. So I'll explain from the beginning, because this was my suck originally, and then it kind of evolved. So there was a scene where Live comes in, and he's trying to subdue Julio. And I was annoyed that he's trying to subdue him. At this point now, I've made my peace with the fact that for some reason, they've all agreed that Julio and Aguilera are the bee's knees, and we're allies, and we're going to protect them. Like, weirdly, oddly, strangely, they just, something about them has connected. So I've made my peace with it. Why I didn't like this is because he's the only one of the three who's objecting to the whole, let's sacrifice ourselves to maybe save these people. Because even if we like them, we still kind of have to do stuff, right? So him subduing Julio in this case, it just amplifies the fact that Daiji's not a character right now, and they're not doing anything with him, and it's almost like...
That's my suck.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, so you... Okay, so we're on the same page,
yeah.
Right?
Like, I'm like, he's the one who should have been full-on attacking.
Right. Yeah.
It's trying to subdue.
Yeah, and I just felt like,
I mean, still lose. That's fine.
Sure, yeah. Get whomped, you know, because, like, maybe Sakura's like, no, don't, pushes him or something. Like, they could have made it work with him still having the same, like, worldview.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't had that changing moment yet. So I feel like that. So at this point, I was upset about that, not because of them being like weirdly buddy-buddy, because I'm like, whatever, made my peace with it. And then we get to the end here where he's more concerned with whether or not Julio's going to betray Aguilera than Julio damaging people or Aguilera, like, doing an evil
that
plan.
That might have been like a mistranslation.
Yeah, right? Because it's like, that put me off. That put me off of the whole episode.
Like, it's like maybe betrayal was the wrong way. Maybe it was like, leave?
Well, yeah, because
if he's like, Julio won't leave her.
Because when Vice was like, is it right that we let him go? I was thinking it was from a, hey, we have a personal responsibility to the everyone everywhere that we keep these people out of, so, you know, daylight.
In my mind, the only way I rationalize it is like, the actual contents was like, do we let them go?
Yeah.
And like Julio, and then Ikki is just like, Julio won't leave Aguilera.
Yeah, maybe that's what was meant, because it's just like, it's time to the odd feelings with the spaceship battle. And, you know, like, I realize that you don't want random people to die, but that doesn't mean you should rush into a building to save a cultist who was willing to be sacrificed just moments away. You get my point.
Yeah.
Where the whole thing is like, I feel like we're missing a mini, like a little movie short or something.
So for Aguilera and Julio being like on their side, I think they're just going with enemy my enemy.
I guess, yeah. Like, or Ortega's the one who's actually trying to do things.
Yeah.
And then they're like, if there's no cult, then the crazy cultists will, I don't know if disseminate's the right word, but like...
They'll find some other cult.
Sure. I mean, the average person. But like, for example, Aguilera has a chance to not be... Because that's her whole life, so I'm sure she's going to be broken, but she's not going to be...
Yeah, so I think it was just like a mistranslation in some way.
Right, because it was so bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to rationalize. Like, there's so many leaps that we have to make here to make it work.
Yeah.
So it has to be a bad translation, right?
Yeah.
At least I'm hopeful it's a bad translation. But for sure, so regardless of the meaning of this, just for sure, though, the Live bit...
Yeah, that was my straight-up, like, suck of the show. Like... That would have not changed anything if Live just comes in like full swinging and gets worked.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, the ends up with them on the ground either way.
Yeah.
Unhensioned at that. So he could have came in shooting and Julio just came and done one like good right cross and that would have been the end of it.
Yeah, and then the rest of the episode, same.
Yeah.
But I was just like, what the... I don't get that. So it was my exact same one.
Yeah. Instead he's like, yeah, trying to get him in a reverse chicken wing or something
like
that.
Yeah, I was just like, what are you doing? You're the guy that's just like, dude, just kill him. Especially because he doesn't know the details that led up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially after Sakura saw, like, his best friend get killed and stuff
Yeah, yeah.
You know, those things are like, okay, yeah, you know, try to subdue him.
Yeah, if she wasn't already on Team Julio and Aguilera to begin with, this would be an opportunity to be like, no, there's some humanity here. Let's not just snuff it out.
Yeah.
Right? So this is kind of the thing that I wanted Sakura to see before she just starts doing
She's just way ahead of the game.
Yeah, yeah. You get my point. This is the kind of thing I was complaining that she should have had, like, one of these moments before all of this started.
Yeah.
Because we're just going under the assumption that she understands Aguilera, and so that's fine.
Yeah.
But, like, Julio is just Julio. Like,
it's easy that they might have cut some scenes with Aguilera and Sakura.
Yeah, I do feel like we're missing part of a story.
Because it's two girls talking, just cut that out.
And the thing is, I understand we're on episode 18 now, so there's not much room for setup. And there's a lot of suits that they had to get through, so they had to make cuts here and there. And I feel like, unfortunately, this bridge between these two... This dynamic,
because she's not a main character, and so like her motivations will always hold second to Iki's.
Yeah, well, yeah,
you know, and that's the same thing. That's what's happening with Daiji too. Is like Daisuke.
No, it's Daiji.
Daiji, yeah, it is Daiji. Iki and Daiji. No, I can't say it.
It's like one of those moments where you keep saying the word over and over until it's like incomprehensible. Yeah.
He's not getting anything because everything's focusing on Iki and Hiromi. That's just all of them. I mean, that's just the part of the show is called Revice, so it's about the two of them. I still like them.
Yeah.
I don't hold it. That's the thing is, I don't hold it against. Like I'll see a lot like commenters and stuff. They'll hold that against a character that the show is focusing on them.
Right.
I'm like, I don't hold it against Iki and Vice that the show focuses on them.
Yeah, that's not their fault. Yeah, it's Revice.
Yeah.
I guess the best way I could put it is, I feel like, you know, at a certain point they had to have a conversation where they're like, what do we cut out to get this to all fit in this, you know, time frame? And they're like, well, we can cut out these scenes because people will be able to extrapolate from incomplete information that Aguilera and Julio aren't really that bad and blah, 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 right? But I feel like that's based in, like, Japanese public opinion of the show at the time, you know, if they're getting reviews.
I think that just is, like, the just cultural ideal.
That too, right?
Not just the public opinion of the show, but just the cultural ideas of, like...
These are the things that they know people are going to make the leaps for.
Yeah.
Whereas, for me, I'm like, those aren't leaps I made.
Yeah.
Those are things that you... Like, those are things that I can see. Those are foreseeable outcomes, but not... Given outcomes.
You know, like little things. Like, you can watch a show that's set in New York, and you could watch that show for like 5 years, and you would never assume that one of those characters owns a car.
Right.
Because you understand that it's very easy not to have a car in New York.
Right. Public transport being what it is.
And so it wouldn't be a reveal when they don't have a car.
Yeah.
But then if that same thing happened in... if they were in L.A. And the show goes on for 4 years, and then you find out that character doesn't have a car, that's a mind-blowing thing.
It's like, how is he always getting there?
And that becomes a story beat. And we understand that, because culturally, it's like, New York, you don't need a car. L.A., you need a car.
Right.
I mean, you can get by, like, you don't, this story-wise.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, you can get by with, you can have a car in New York, and you can get by without a car in L.A. I understand that.
Yeah.
But, like, as a character in a show, those are logics that those are automatic logics, you leaps that you'll get.
Yeah.
And maybe there's something like that in the show that we're not
getting. Yeah, something that we're not getting because we don't have the cultural identity necessary to like extrapolate or make the same assumptions that you know, they want you to make.
Yeah.
Because there's like this scene, like, it hopefully oddly translated or like half a sentence or something.
Yeah.
As far as the
I think if you just change, if betrayal was just changed to like leave.
Uh huh.
Or abandon.
Yeah, abandon might even be a better.
Yeah, like Julio won't abandon Aguilera.
Yeah, but even then, I feel like that's a level of concern that they're showing for those two individuals, and not like, hey, remember when he blew up just near a hospital or whatever the heck they were?
They were at school. It was good for
story. Yeah, yeah. You get my point. Yeah. I'm sure they're going to downplay the damage a bit.
Yeah.
It was just going to be the garden got blown up or whatever.
Yeah,
but
it's the Kuga thing where you're just like, the aerial view looked like he blew up like 9 city blocks.
Right.
And it was like some windows are broken. So what is your Sugoi?
Okay, so I could probably talk about most moments in this episode as a Sugoi, because really the episode was good.
Yeah.
Specifically, I have two things. The first one is, I loved how he looked so crispy after he burned himself.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was really well done. Because, like, just comparing it to Saber, like, if he gets blasted, he'll have some soot maybe on his face.
Yeah.
And then, like, a cut or something like that. But generally, his clothing looked decent.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Toma's always fresh.
Yeah.
It's a superpower. But, no, Iki's, like, full-blown, all of his clothes looked like they got thrown into a furnace.
Luckily, he has an endless supply of them. It is because they're all
right
swag for his home. It was
a yeah, it's not like people are rushing through the doors to buy that merch. So yeah. They've got a whole attic full. But the thing I also like that the friend got, not for the reason you think, but the friend got turned into a giftarian. It wasn't just that I wanted to see him die, because that even though I joke about it, not really that bad.
Like, yeah.
I'm not actually going to stab somebody because they ripped my car.
Yeah.
An ass whooping is enough.
Yeah.
It's really worth less than a cent.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how much.
If you give me a new one, we're good.
Right. yeah, I mean, that too. Like, if it's an accident, but anyway, regardless of that, like, I didn't really necessarily want him to die, just that when it happened, I wasn't expecting that.
No.
That was not the outcome of that talk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, because every other interaction, there's been like deaths in the show, but they've always been the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, because there was the three level threes,
mm-hmm.
and then the giftarian, she was a cultist and stuff like that. And now you're just like, just some guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if Ortega just walks down the street, starts just like, bam, yeah, bam, and everybody, bam.
He could. He has the power.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary if you think about it.
Yeah.
But I feel like it also kind of justifies my suck from the last episode, because she stopped Julio from womping on Ortega at that point. So technically you're the reason he died. Nah, that's a little too far. But if he is dead, hopefully he's being tortured in hell and his soul burns for eternity. No, it's just a card. It's just a card. But
yeah.
Still, it's like, I was really not expecting him to die, and especially not like that.
You were expecting them to reconcile, and then he moved on, and then you never see this character or hear from this character ever
right.
again.
I knew it was going to be important for Julio to come on Team Ikki, or just whatever's happening right now. I knew it was going to be like a step forward in this general direction, but having to mash potato his buddy on a wall,
yeah.
or what's left of his buddy.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that giftarian is gone, though.
Right, because he just kind of crumbles onto the ground. And
so we don't know if, like, he left with Ortega or something.
Yeah. Because
we didn't see that giftarian, like, blow up.
I can't recall seeing it, like...
I mean, if it's gone, I can understand it being gone.
Right, hear from it again.
But if it's around and then, like, life has to kick it back to life, he just has
that'd
to do
that'd be fine,
it.
Too.
Yeah, that'd be fine. That works out. He has to do it in staying alive mode. So my Sugoi is that combo fight.
Yes, that was definitely one I was going to mention.
Yeah.
But I figured we both had that one for sure.
Yeah, so I mean, like, the thing about the friend dying is, like, a good story beat. And so that's, you know, if you hadn't chose that, I would have chose that most likely. So, but yeah, that combo fight of, like, especially because it's, like, some good martial arts action.
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely, like, while I was watching it, I was reminded that this was the same guy from 01.
Yes.
Because, you know, they had to switch for Saber, and like you were saying.
Yeah, because he was a swordsman. So right. they
not like, that that's not good, but just a totally different style than this.
And so it was, like, really good. I liked them doing the intercuts with, like, actual fire effects and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then... But really about that is I love the final kick because it was the Todoroki factor.
Oh, because fire and ice?
So they balance each other out because Ikki is burning hot.
Yes.
And the only way he can keep going super powered is with Vice cooling him down.
Right, and Vice is getting too cold, but he's getting warmed up.
Yeah, so it's the Todoroki factor that they're fueling each other.
Mm-hmm.
By that's the balance. At first, I was just like, fire and ice, it's like so... But then I'm like, oh yeah, that whole Todoroki thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just
changed
like,
the game.
Yeah, because like when Ikki's going by himself, that's when he burned up. But if he had Vice next to him, he's not going to burn up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's like, oh yeah, that was a nice like dynamic.
Yeah.
So Rider ranking.
Yeah, Rider ranking. Okay, so the suck says it all as far as why life's near the bottom. I mean, what are we doing with them?
I think it's
besides just keep them basically where they are.
Yeah.
Like
Ikki, Sakura.
That's it. Daiji didn't get any lines. He didn't really do anything, and it was out of character. It's like,
yeah. So it's like, do you think that drops him below Hiromi, who hasn't been in the show at all?
I it's like, okay, like let's compare them. Let's just compare them. Yes, he came in for the fight, but then also when his brother was gravely injured, he was just screaming in his ear while Hiromi was the one that was calling for medical attention. So I don't know if like, does that count? Like, are those points? We also see that he's been doing all this with like biometrics of an 80-year-old man.
Yeah, he's dying.
Like, I think that's worth mentioning.
So yeah, I'll go ahead and say that Daiji is lost for this episode because it's like, so there was, if he would have just like gone all out and then get worked probably would be a buffer only.
Right, because especially with the scene that he's walking in on, right? Like, if he believes what he believes, is like, we have to just do it. It sucks, but we got to go with it. You're coming in and your sister's getting, like, full mount pummeled on. Like, he's got her on the ground. She's pinned. And the thing you think to do is put him in a chicken wing. It's like...
You have a gun!
Yeah.
And you're a great shot!
Yeah, if anything, that should have riled you up enough to come out swinging, right?
I was, like, half expecting evil to show up at that point.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Seriously. So, anyway, yeah, I just felt kind of not betrayed, but put in a little let down.
Yeah. Especially because, like...
And the thing is,
we don't agree with what he says.
Right.
But we understand his stance.
Right.
The only reason we don't agree with what he says is because we know that Ikki will figure out how to save these people.
Yeah, that's just it. If I'm at this round table as they're discussing things, not knowing plot is going to work in my favor by the end of this story, I think, then I'm going to be team, well, it sucks to suck, but they are cultists. Yeah. So.
So.
It's like, I'm sorry.
It's like more than cultists. They're also terrorists.
Right.
They're terrorist cultists. So it's like, it's a huge, like, you know.
Right. If we can do something, sure. Like, I'm saying, if we catch them off guard and it only takes a solid punch to knock them out and then we can cage them, okay, fine.
Yeah.
But if we have to fight them, then they're going down.
But then he doesn't keep with it.
Yeah, at no point. And yeah, so it's just like, even though I can't really necessarily blame Daiji for that because it's just really a victim of the story.
Yeah.
Just that, you know, I expect he'll get back up there in the top three or...
So the next episode of Kamen Rider Revice is Demon's Warning, Hiromi's Siege.
Okay. So this is a full-on Demon's episode. I thought it was just going to be part of it, like the B-plot, but no, it looks like it's the A-plot of the episode.
Well, it looks like Ortega's targeting him because he's the weakest link.
Okay.
He's able to tell that he's failing.
Yeah, let's get this guy out of here.
Yeah. You could easily see, like... him taking him out and taking the belt, and then he becomes Demons.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
It would be I'm not happy that it'll happen, but I would be interested in seeing where that goes.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, we need the Kamen Rider.
Yeah, we need an evil Kamen Rider.
Like, even though we were complaining about how it's always evil Kamen Riders, and not always, but it seems like it's going that way.
There's been an evil Kamen Rider. Like, the final form is usually an evil Kamen Rider, and that's been going on for years.
It's kind of like the bread and butter, then?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember, like, it was in, like, trying to think, like, all the way back to, like, Wizard, like, phase two of, let's see here, so, like, probably 2015, 2016? So it's been going on for a while.
Okay, yeah.
It's usually like how it was in Saber. Like, they were a monster, and then their final form is a Kamen Rider.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can sell Kamen Rider toys.
Right.
A couple of times, the villains have been Kamen Rider from, like, the stars.
Right, okay.
It's been evil Kamen Riders versus evil Kamen Riders. That's kind of how it was in Saber. It was like, it's Caliber, but he wasn't the final villain, but the final villain still was a Rider.
Right, right.
You know, so...
Yeah, because it had both. It was like the fight was always against Kamen Rider up until the very end with Storius becoming a Kamen Rider.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that will be our next episode. I've been Ern.
I'm Eugene.
See you next time.